Well, good morning. I hope that you had a great 4th of July yesterday, and I hope that you stayed safe and didn't blow any fingers off shooting fireworks if you were doing that. But anyway, we're back today as we continue in the book of Hebrews. We're going to be in chapter 12 of Hebrews, verses 25 through 29. And I'm thankful that we are able to be back together, and thankful that Jonathan has come to be our worship leader, and we are excited about that as he starts today on this Sunday. July the 5th will be his first official Sunday, so we're excited about that. I hope that you are, and hope that soon you'll be able to be back with us so that you can experience him. We tried to record him last week and it just didn't work out very well, so we got the music on there, but the video was not very good. And when we try to do it with the main camera, the music is so overpowering you can't hear his singing. So we tried, actually it was recorded off of Vern's phone. So anyway, well, let's look today in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 25 through 29, and the writer of Hebrews says, "See that you do not see that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, 'Yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven.' Now this 'yet once more' indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire." In his best-selling book, Cosmos, Carl Sagan opened up with this sentence. He said, "The cosmos is all there is or ever was or ever shall be." Now, in that one sentence, he put together his whole view of the universe. And he was simply saying in that sentence that the universe came into existence by chance. Now, that's quite different from those of us who believe Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, that says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Sagan believed that the universe came into existence by chance. We believe that the universe came into existence by the creation of our God. And I believe what you believe about the origin of the universe is very important, because it would have a lot to do with what you believe about the destiny of our universe. If you believe that this world is going to last forever, then you're more likely to put your life's foundation upon this physical universe and the material things that are in it. But if you do not believe that this universe or this world is going to be eternal, and if you believe that this world is one day going to pass away, then you seek to find a more solid foundation for your life. The verses that we have before us this morning are very unsettling for all of those who have rested their life, their foundations, upon things which will ultimately be shaken, and that's this world. If you're living for this world, and if this is the only world you ever expect to live in, then these verses have some very bad news for you today. So let's move through them and see what they have to say to us, and kind of point us toward the direction that we need to be focusing and building the foundation of our lives upon. Well, in verse 25, we're introduced, first of all, to the Lord speaking. He says, "See that you do not refuse him who speaks." And of course, he's referring to God. The Bible makes it very clear that God, who created this world, is a God who is vitally interested not only in the world, but to those of us who are in the world, the humans that he created, and he speaks to us here in this world. That's the way the book of Hebrews began, all the way back in chapter 1, when he says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son. So the opening affirmation of this whole book is that God has spoken, and he's spoken through his Son, the Lord Jesus. Well, that's an incredible concept. We believe that there is a God who is great enough to create the whole universe, and yet we believe that this great God has spoken to us, that he has spoken to us. That's what verse 25 says when he says God spoke on earth. That's probably a reference to when God was given the Ten Commandments to Moses on Mount Sinai. But all along, through his dealing with his people, God spoke at different times and he spoke in different ways. Sometimes God would speak through a direct voice to those Old Testament saints. And other times God spoke through visions, through dreams. However, when he spoke, people were responsible and accountable for what they did with the revelation of God's voice to them. And if they refused to heed the voice of God, he says they did not escape. In other words, they were accountable to respond to the revelation that God had just given to them. When verse 25, he makes it clear that God has spoken to us here in our day, in the day of the church, in New Testament times, he says, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven. When Jesus came into the world, he was God in human flesh. Matter of fact, John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus was God. Now, what is a word? A word is a vehicle of thought. I mean, I communicate my heart, I communicate my mind by the thoughts I express in my words. That's how we communicate, through words. Well, the Word of God says that God has communicated to us as humans in the person of his Son, the living Word of God. If you want to know what God is like, you look at the Lord Jesus. If you want to know what God thinks, listen to what Jesus says in the Word of God, because that's what God is thinking. Jesus has revealed to us here in the pages of the written Word everything that God wants us to know, everything that God wants us to understand. So it's an incredible thing that God has spoken to us as human beings, as people. But it's also incredible, but it's also inescapable. If those who heard the Word of God in the Old Testament did not listen to him, they could not escape. Now, he says to us, much more those of us who have the New Testament revelation are not going to escape. You see, you and I have a responsibility to deal with the Word of God and with God's revelation of himself in the Lord Jesus. You cannot be neutral about the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said one time, he that is not with me is against me. And that's Matthew 12:30. Folks, there is no neutrality when it comes to the Lord Jesus. By the way, Jesus is still the most controversial personality in the universe. People either love him and they bow their knee to him, or they hate him and they blaspheme his name. I'm here to announce to you this morning that when God talks, we have a responsibility to listen to him, because he is the God, the creator, the sustainer, and the finisher of everything in this universe. The Lord is speaking, so the Word of God says, see to it that you do not refuse the voice of him who speaks. But in verses 26 and 27, we see, secondly, the universe shaking. In this verse, you'll look very carefully. If you look very closely, you see that the universe is going to become in upheaval one of these days. And I'm not sure if it's not happening now. But he tells us in verse 26 that there is a promise that one day this whole universe is going to be shaken to its very foundation. Look what he says in verse 26. Whose voice then shook the earth. Now, he's talking there about when God spoke at Mount Sinai. You remember the Bible says that at Mount Sinai, it shook and it trembled, and there were voices, and there was that sound of the trumpet. and Mount Sinai began to shake and quake. But in verse 26, there's a promise of a future shaking, because he's quoting from Haggai chapter 2, verse 6 here, and he says, "Yet once more I shake not the earth, but also heaven." That is a promise from the Word of God that the day will come when this entire universe is going to be shaken. All physical things are going to be experience this manifestation of the shaking of God. God is going to shake this universe of ours. In fact, the Bible teaches that this physical universe is going to crumble, and that everything one of these days is going to come down. And if you're building your life upon things that are temporary, upon earthly things that are passing, what are you going to do when everything that you've depended on has shaken and has been removed? Peter, in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, made a prediction. He said this, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up." And then in verse 12 of 2 Peter chapter 3, he says, "Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat." You see, it's all going to come down one of these days, folks. Everything that this world is going to disappear one of these days. Well, what is the purpose of this shaking? Well, in verse 27, he answers that question because he said, "Now this yet once more, indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken as of things that are made." And what he's simply saying is this going to illustrate to us that everything which can be shaken is going to be shaken. Now think about that for a moment. Every physical thing is going to be shaken. When I drive up in the city of Nashville, I look at some of the buildings up there, and some of them are magnificent structures. And if you look at it, you think, man, those things are going to be here forever. But the Bible says one of these days, they're going to be shaken. And those tall buildings are going to come tumbling down like Jericho's walls did when the people marched around it and blasted on those trumpets and shouted. Everything that can be shaken is going to be shaken one of these days. Now notice what it says in the last part of verse 27. He says that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Now the purpose of this final shaking is going to be this: that people will see that the things that are solid and substantial in that day are going to remain. Those things are going to remain. Now, if you look at that word in verse 27, removal, the word is actually kind of like the word that we use in music to transpose something. You know, you transpose maybe from a higher key or a lower key up or down. You can do that with music. But he's talking about transposing of those things that are shaking. He's going to change those things. He says there's going to come a time when God's going to move this thing into a higher key. He's going to transpose from earthly things to heavenly things. He's going to take it a step higher from material things to spiritual things. He's transposing it from material to spiritual. Do you have your life built upon the things that cannot be shaken? I hope that you do. If you live long enough in this world, you're going to have some experiences in life that are going to shake you. So you need to be sure that you put your life upon a foundation that cannot be shaken by the troubles and the trials and the problems and the perplexities of life. Well, what I want to do is share with you for a few moments some things that cannot be shaken, and some things upon which we need to build our life upon. Let me mention a few things that can't be shaken. First of all, the throne of God cannot be shaken. The kingdom of this world are all like a house of cards. They're all going to come down one day. They're all like sandcastles that are going to just be washed away. But it says in Psalm 45:6, "Your throne, O God, is forever and ever." Folks, listen, the throne of God will never be shaken. As I've been studying the book of Revelation, I'm impressed by the use of the the throne, that term the throne, throughout the book of Revelation. Because you see, Revelation shows all the things that are going to take place on this earth, all of the shaking of the efforts of men on this earth. The writer, the Apostle John, just keeps looking back to the throne, and he just keeps seeing God there on the throne. All throughout the turmoil that's going on throughout this world during the tribulation period, John keeps looking at the throne, and God's still on his throne, people. Listen, through all the things that are going on in our world today, we look around, we think this world is shaking. Listen, God is still on his throne this morning. It cannot be shaken. It's going to remain forever and ever and ever. I'm going to tell you something else that can't be shaken. The Word of God cannot be shaken. There have been some major struggles in the Christian faith in its history. The first major struggle concerned the nature of Christ, and they are asking the question, who is Jesus? And of course, the struggle was solved when we come to understand that Jesus is the God-man. He's very God and very man. And we understand that he is God. He came in the robe of flesh, but he is fully man but fully God at the same time. And he is God. A second great struggle was not the nature of Christ, but the nature of salvation. How are we saved? And of course, that struggle, I think, was resolved in the days of the Reformation when Martin Luther reminded all of Christendom, again, that the just shall live by faith. And that we are saved by the grace of God through faith, plus nothing, minus nothing. In more recent history, we were engaged in the third great struggle in the Christian faith, and that is the nature of Scripture. Is the Bible the Word of God, or does it merely contain the Word of God? That's kind of the struggle that we went through. Is all of the Bible inspired, or is just part of the Bible inspired? Well, I've settled that for me. But I want to point out something to you. Don't ever get the idea that those of us who have been engaged in the struggle of the nature of the Bible are anxious about the future of the Bible. Don't ever get the idea that we're afraid the Bible is going to be shaken. Folks, the Bible is the Word of God. It is entirely the Word of God. It is inerrant Word of God. It is God-breathed. It is God's Word to us. But don't ever get afraid that the Bible is going to be shaken. I take the views of Charles Spurgeon. Back in his day, they were attacking the Bible, and someone asked Mr. Spurgeon, "Are you going to defend the Bible?" And he laughed and he said, "Defend the Bible? You'd about as well defend a lion. Just let it loose and it'll defend itself." And folks, that is so true. I want you to think in any way that the Bible is going to be shaken by the attacks that are lodged against it. It just will not. The problem is that the confidence of the Bible may be shaken. Your confidence in the Bible can be shaken. But folks, the Bible itself can never be shaken. And the only way your confidence can be shaken in the Bible is by listening to those who are telling lies about the Word of God. It all rests in the mind and in the heart of the individual, what they believe about the Word of God. And I believe this is the Word of God. From Genesis 1:1 to maps, it is the Word of God to us. And when people have lost their confidence in the Word, they have no solid foundation of authority upon which to build their lives. But let me announce to you what God says about His Word. In Psalm 119, verses 8 and 9, it says this, "Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven." Listen, the Word of God cannot be shaken. That's why you need to build your life upon the Word of God. That's why you need to rest your faith upon the authority of the Scripture as it reveals the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior. The throne of God cannot be shaken. It is a solid foundation. The Word of God cannot be shaken. It is a solid foundation. But there's something else that will not be shaken, and that is the church of God shall not be shaken. Back in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, Jesus said, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Folks, you're not going to kill the church. You're not going to do it. People have asked, "Preacher, do you think the church is on its way down?" No. Listen, folks, the church is on its way up one of these days. The church is on its way up. I've got good news for you. The Lord's going to come one of these days for his church, and it's going to be alive, and it's going to be well when the Lord Jesus comes to take it home. I'm not worried about the future of the church. It's a foundation that cannot be shaken. Let me tell you something else that cannot be shaken. The Son of God cannot be shaken. I've got news for you. You don't have to worry about the future of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, I want to point out to you that Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. You can build your life upon the Lord Jesus Christ because that's a foundation that will never be shaken. If you build your life upon the throne of God, if you build your life upon the Word of God, if you build your life in the church of God, and if you build your life upon the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus said in John 10:28, I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. Folks, you have a solid foundation in these things. The universe may shake around us, but we will never be shaken if we are in Christ. Thirdly, I want you to see in verses 28 and 29, the Christian serving. Look at verse 28. It says, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Now, there's an obligation to service that he mentions here. Let us have grace, he says, by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. How do you serve God effectively? How do you serve God acceptably? Notice it all begins with grace. It's by his grace. Our relationship with God begins by grace. Not us giving, but as us receiving. We receive God's grace. We are saved by faith, but we also have to serve by grace. We have to serve by the grace. We're saved by our faith, and the grace of God saves us, but then we serve by our faith in our grace that he gives us. We are totally dependent upon the Lord to serve the Lord. Think about that. We must always be conscious of the grace of God. What does that mean to serve him acceptably with reverence and godly fear? Well, it means with a wholesome respect for a holy God, always conscious of the fact that anything we do is because of the amazing grace of God that has saved us and made it possible for us to do that, to give him service. Every time you give your testimony, just remember there was a time when maybe you didn't serve him, and maybe you stood up and you even cursed the name of Jesus. But he says, it doesn't matter if you've been saved by grace, those sins have been wiped away. You can now serve God, and you need to do it acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Folks, that is the obligation that we have. We ought to serve the Lord. Are you serving the Lord today? Are you working for him? That is something, folks, that will last. The Bible says the world passes away, but he who does the will of God abides forever. Abides forever. But then I want you to notice that we're going to be examined. There's an examination coming, folks. In verse 29, he says, for our God is a consuming fire. We're dealing with a God who is a God of burning holiness. And one of these days, you and I are going to have to stand before this God. And we're going to have to be examined for the service that we've given, that we've rendered to the Lord Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 says, our works are going to be manifest by fire. And fire will try every man's work according to that which he has done. Folks, one of these days when you stand before this holy God, everything you've done to serve him is going to be reviewed. And if you've done anything in the flesh that's not by the grace of God, it's all going to burn up and go into smoke. It's not going to be worth anything. That's the wood, hay, and the stubble that's just going to burn up. But if you've served him faithfully, you've done it out of a good heart, you've done it out of motives that are honoring him, then those things are going to remain. And those are the things that Jesus is going to reward you for. But listen, If you are a Christian, you need to make sure that you're living your life and you're serving every day for the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to make sure you're on that foundation of grace by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that you're serving Him, that you're living for Him every day, and that you're being found faithful in everything that you do. But this morning, if you're unsaved, this verse has a message for you as well. It says, God is a consuming fire. Jesus said those who have rejected Him one day would come to the time when the Lord would say, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire. We don't like to hear it, but folks, it's in the book. It's here. And the only way you can come to this God who is a consuming fire is to come to the cross where the fires of God's holy wrath was poured out upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and He took that and He endured that so you and I could be saved. Do you need Christ this morning? Do you need Jesus in your life? Then you need to cry out to Him. You need to repent of your sins and by faith receive Him into your life. And just say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I need you. Forgive me, Lord, and come into my life. Let me live for you, Lord. Let me serve you, Lord. I want to be living my life. I want to build the rest of my life on the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christian, are you listening to God today? As He speaks to you through His word, are you hearing what He's saying? Are you heeding it? Are you serving Him today? Are you actively involved in doing the work that He's called you to do, doing the things that He's asked you to do in your life? I pray that you are. I want to close with a word of prayer, and then we'll be dismissed. So let me pray with you. Heavenly Father, I'm so thankful today that we can build our life upon you. And Lord, that when the shaking of this universe happens and things just begins to fly apart and this world just begins to melt, that we'll be safe because we are in you. And Lord, that our foundation is sure because your throne cannot be shaken, your word cannot be shaken, your church cannot be shaken, and Jesus cannot be shaken. And we're standing upon that foundation, and we know that we are safe in you. And Lord, that is such good news that we have today. And I pray that if there's one that's listening that doesn't have that assurance in their life, that they would cry out to you this morning, ask for forgiveness, Lord, and ask you to be Lord of their life. I pray for us as Christians, Lord, that we would be found faithfully serving you, Lord. As we build our life upon this foundation, part of that means that we ought to be working for you and doing the things that you have told us to do in your word. Lord, we are responsible. We are going to be held accountable for your word in our life and, Lord, how we have applied it and how we've used it. I pray that we would be found faithful when we stand before you, Lord, that when those purifying flames check our work, that those works will be the precious stones and they will survive that purifying flame. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for our nation, Lord. I pray your blessing upon us, Lord. I pray that you bring healing to our land because we need it. And Lord, may we have a great day today, I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Well, God bless you today. I hope that you have a great day, and I look forward to seeing you again, hopefully soon, that you'll be able to come back and be with us here at the church. But God bless you and have a great day on this 5th of July. See you later.